In its first three decades, the Imperial Japanese Navy's submarine arm had built some small classes of medium-sized submarine, loosely known collectively as the Kaichus. But they had mostly focused on larger, longer-range types for operations across the Pacific, which was fairly understandable given their geographic position. However, as it became clear in 1940 that Japan would be involved in a large war in that ocean sooner rather than later, it was also realized that the existing numbers of large Type A, B, and C submarines were insufficient to fulfill all the planned offensive operations with the subs operating either independently or with the fleet, if the necessary levels of base and coastal protection were also to be maintained. And this problem would clearly multiply if the planned offensives were successful, as there would suddenly be more and more bases to defend. The solution seemed to be to devise a new class of small coastal defense submarine that would be able to carry out the defensive missions and exploit its small size to operate better in shallow waters in those areas, and this would release the larger submarines for purely offensive operations. Taking the previous medium submarines as a starting point, but reducing them still further in size, the new small-type submarine, or Ko-type, was designed with a surface displacement of around 600 tons. As they were really only supposed to be engaging enemy warships that were attempting to scout or attack friendly bases, no deck guns were included beyond provision for a couple of small anti-aircraft guns, with offensive firepower concentrated in the four forward torpedo tubes, each of which would carry a single reload. Two shafts, powered by a total of 1,000 brake horsepower of diesel engines, or 760 horsepower of electric motors, depending on whether you were on the surface or underwater, drove the submarines through said water at just over 14 knots on the surface and around 8 knots when submerged. 18 submarines were ordered in two batches of 9, one set in October 1940, the other set in August 1941, built in both the Kure and Kobe shipyards. The submarines were laid down between summer 1941 and the very start of 1943 for the last of them, and they entered service between the end of 1942 and the start of 1944. But by the time they reached the front lines, the Imperial Japanese Navy was very much on the back foot, and so the RO-100s found themselves being thrown into straight-up frontline action along with the rest of the Japanese Navy's submarine fleet. Operating against significant enemy anti-submarine warfare threats, the class fared rather badly, netting a grand total of just 3 confirmed cargo ship kills, as well as an LST and a destroyer. There are some reports that indicate they may have damaged or sunk a few other ships, but those are the confirmed sinkings that the class was responsible for. In exchange, all 18 of the subs were sunk before the war ended, 5 of them being sunk over the course of just under a week in May 1944 by USS England. The shortest-lived submarines of the class being RO-116 and RO-117, which lasted about 4 months in commission before being sunk by as one of USS England's victims and by a US Navy patrol bomber, respectively, on the same day. The longest-lived member of the group was RO-109, which lasted an unusually long 2 years before being sunk by an APD, that being a destroyer mostly converted to a fast troop transport, in April 1945. Most members of the class didn't even last a full year in service. Interestingly, though, early in their development, a high underwater speed had been suggested. This was dropped after a while in favour of a more conventional design which could be built faster, but some of that initial work was preserved, and in combination with earlier experimental work in the 1930s, gave rise to the I-201 and HA-201 classes, both of which had incredibly high underwater speeds by World War II submarine standards, but also arrived far too late to make any difference at all in the Pacific War.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.